Good morning, everybody. It's just a great day. It's a great day to be here.
Yeah.
It's a great day to be anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Would you stand together with me and let's just start the whole day with prayer. Just believing God and thanking God. Just getting right into, quote, church service. Why don't we just pray a little bit? And the scripture says that the Lord says, if you'll call upon me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Matthew 21:13 says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Many times when we come together, we just, we've got all these things we kind of want to do, kind of church business, family business. But the most important thing is our relationship with God and experiencing His presence in a deep personal way. So I know you've had a busy week, and I know you've got a lot on your mind. You got a lot of agenda today, but let's just take a moment right now and agree together in prayer. Let the Spirit of God touch us in a supernatural way. Are you ready? Come on, let's all just begin to pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today because you are so worthy of all of our praise.
Yes.
We come to you because we know that in you supernatural things happen. We know that in you there is life and life abundance. We know it's just not something we go in and out of and something that we do by our own agenda. It's all by you. We thank you for your glory presence. We thank you for your energy, your resurrection energy that fills our mind today. And all the heaviness is going to come off of us. There's going to be freedom in us. There's going to be liberty in us. And as we worship you, supernatural things happen.
Yes.
Our mind is renewed. Our spirit is lifted up. And we know that miracles even happen in our mind, in our spirit, and in our body. And so today we just praise you, knowing that you are worthy of all of our praise. We're going to sing to you. We're going to lift up our hands. We're going to lift our voices. We're going to glorify you and allow you to do anything you'd like among us today in a supernatural way. Come on, everybody, just begin by giving God hallelujahs. Would you do that? Come on, just give him hallelujahs. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship. Every praise.
Every praise. Every praise is to our God.
Come on, lift those hands. Sing. Sing hallelujah
to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise.
Every praise. Come on.
Faithful God, you're worthy of glory. Woo! we lift it to you. Sing, sing hallelujah.
Just love him in this place. He's so glorious, God.
You're so amazing. You're so amazing. You're always there for us, keeping us and comforting us. And we bless you now. Now come on, every burning heart, just lift your voices to him right now. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the voices be lifted to Jesus. Let the voices be lifted to Jesus. We love you. Wow, you're so good, God. You're so good. You're so good, God. So good. We love you in this place, mighty God. We love you. We love you. Just in case you didn't know, he is here. He is here. He says, where you are, I am. I am in the midst of you. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the fire, come on. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. We have a part to play, don't we? You provide the spirit. Yeah. And I will open up to sound. You provide the spirit. You provide. Hey, I will alone. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Anybody want it?
Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up.
Come on, burning hearts. Come on, burning hearts.
You provide the spirit.
I want to
over.
Feel. same way I came. I gotta go higher. I gotta go higher. I gotta go higher. Yes, gotta go higher. I wanna go higher in you. Hey, we love you, we love you, we really love you. Fill me up, fill me up. Fill I over. I want over. I want over. Fill me up. Woo! Yes, God. Till I overflow. Till I overflow.
This moment, don't miss this moment. This is the moment you've been waiting on, and not necessarily to receive something from the Lord, but to release the glory of God. Come on, do it now. I said, come on, do it now.
Let's all just do that. Come on, everybody, just for a second. Come on, just lift your hands to Him and just tell Him His name is higher than anything else. Go ahead, do that. Hallelujahs to Him, praises to Him. Come on, just lift them out together.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Everybody together.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. You know, the Bible is full of talking about the power of one. And even in that one, there being great diversity. And among us today, we have great diversity of need. We have great diversity of viewpoint. Just a lot of things. But there's only one who can take care of all of us.
Yes.
There's only one name that's above every other name. And He tells us that when that one gets together, talks about one praise, one voice, that when that happens, it just moves things in the atmosphere. Even physical things begin to move. You know, armies, when they would march, many of you know this, across a bridge or a solid structure, they wouldn't march in step. You just have to free up and everybody walk spontaneously, because if they all got together, the power of that impact would actually shatter that structure. I believe we need to give a one praise out of here. A one in spirit together out of here. It doesn't matter if your background was no church or some kind of church. We're all in God together.
Yeah.
We're all in Jesus together. And if we can just give one voice, what could we shatter in the atmosphere? What kind of powers of darkness could we pull out? What if right now, if we would praise Him on one voice, could it be that physical healing could come to those who have had heaviness on them, but because of our praise, it just lifts it off of them, and they feel the freedom to receive?
Yeah, yes.
We can help one another in this. See, your praise helps my praise.
Yes.
When we get together, it's just magnetic of what happens in the atmosphere. So are you ready for that?
Yes.
Let's just all right now, just give a one big shout praise and just sustain that for a few moments. Come on, all together now. Come on, praise Him now. Come on, just praise Him now.
Now and forever, God.
I love this part.
For yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names.
Come on.
You have no rhyme.
Hey.
You have no equal.
No.
Now and forever I need.
Hey, yeah.
Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory.
Come on, just give him your spontaneous hallelujahs. Go ahead. Your voice to him. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Lord, I declare in this place by the authority of your name, by your resurrection power that cannot be reversed, we declare in your mighty name and by your authority that all infirmities must leave these bodies. We declare right now there's renewal of the mind. We declare right now there's liberty in the spirit in this atmosphere.
Yes.
We declare right now that there is no work of darkness that can sustain. There is no depression. There is no oppression. There is no evil work of the enemy that can stand. We declare your word to be true and right. Your name is holy. Your name is lifted up. And we declare you to be Lord in our gathering today. We declare you to be Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah.
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 We give hallelujahs to your name. Hallelujahs to your name. We declare that nothing is too hard for you. We declare that nothing is impossible. And we believe that today there will be the beginnings in us of transformations that we have never before experienced. And your word will have its free course in every one of us. We declare it so in your name.
Yes, yes.
In your name. I want you to pray with me, friends, because later on today we're taking a huge group of your kids, smaller ones, to kids' camp for the week. It's going to be a charged atmosphere. Many of them will once again give their lives to the Lord. And many of them, if not already, will be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're going to have a lot of fun. They're going to eat a lot of nasty food. They're going to do all that sort of thing. They're going to play pranks on each other. They're going to have a great time, you know. And you're going to have a great time while they're gone too, aren't you? Yeah. But we're going to pray that many of them will be called into missions. Many of them will be called into ministries and will receive the call of God upon their life. We're going to dedicate them to God before the devil has a chance to get them. And they'll be coming with kids from all over the state. And they're going to get some friendships and partnerships, for their life. They really will. And so let's just pray for them right now. Can we do that? Heavenly Father, I thank you that for these gatherings like this. I thank you for people who've dedicated and given their lives to pour into these kids for this week. And I know they're going to be supernatural angels guarding around them, divine health and divine protection. And I just believe that your power, your fire, your glory, your presence will come over them. They'll have supernatural dreams and visions. There'll be callings. They'll feel your hand upon their life, God. There'll be an encounter with you they'll never, ever forget.
Yes,
and it
God.
Won't be
yes,
a one-time
yes,
encounter. It'll be just the beginning of the glory of the mountain that they'll live in all of their lives. They have ears to hear and eyes to see, O living God. And I pray that their mouths will open and declare your glories. I pray, God, you're raising up a generation that will tear down every wall, every barrier, every everything that's tried to build up, the opposition of the enemy will not be greater than this force that is going forth. Hallelujah. They'll come back to these families and these homes and supercharge them with the fire of your presence, God.
Yes, God.
With a passion to pursue you. With a passion to live for you. All out, full out, every day of their life. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Praise God. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Praise God. Well, you look good. And I probably figure you smell good. I'm not out there, but I think you probably do. So go ahead and turn around and greet a few people and tell them it's good to be here and worship with you today. Go ahead and do that. Just move around a little bit and tell somebody hello.
Church host families, if you'll come at this time while we're shaking hands with one another. Wow, I looked forward all week to worshiping with you. Amen.
Yeah.
And I love our church family. Our church host families are coming right now, and we're just asking if this is one of your first times with us today. As a matter of fact, while I was filtering through the foyer this morning, I noticed several faces that I had not gotten acquainted with, and so we know you're out there. And if this is one of your first times with us, we want to greet you today. These folks are coming down the aisle right now, and they're going to give you some homemade bread. If this is one of your first couple of times with us, we ask that you go ahead and receive that bread as our gift today and know how much we care about you. There's a card. We would love for you to fill that card out and turn that into an offering container or out here at the Welcome Center in a little while. And we just want to get acquainted with you, pray over your family, and let you know how much the Church Alive family cares about you. So, church, let's make everybody feel very welcome here at the Church Alive today. Amen.
So we want to let you know about something that's happening here next Sunday. We'll have service as we normally do on Sunday morning. But then on Sunday night, we're going to get together. You know, the Bible says the greatest commandment, that's all summed up in this, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, and that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you can't love your neighbor or yourself unless you love God first, right? So there's a lot of talk about in church circles about connecting people to each other and building community, but that's all for naught if we don't first love Jesus, right? The greatest thing we can do is first love Jesus, because if you really love Jesus right, then you want to love people. You want to love the person sitting next to you. You want to connect. You want to fellowship. You want to build community and live together in one accord. So we're going to come together that night, and we're just going to worship Jesus. We're just going to love Jesus. We're going to come in here, and we're just going to have a time of worship where all we do is just set our gaze and our affection completely upon Him. No other agenda, no other distraction, no other goal except for to just worship Him with all of our heart. We're going to do that for a little while, and then we're going to go down here to the fellowship hall, and we're just going to hang out and have a good time. We're going to grill some burgers, going to grill some hot dogs. You're going to bring your best side dish or your best dessert so you can share all of that with us. You're welcome to bring your fishing pole. Go out here and fish in the pond. We'll have some activities. We may set up some can jam and some cornhole and just have a good time. You know, bring your lawn chair, and we're just going to do kind of what you do in the summertime. Sit around the yard and just talk and have a good time and fellowship with one another. If you're new to the Church Alive, or if you've been here for all of your life like me, this is a great opportunity for you to come into fellowship and to connect, not only first with the Lord, but with other people that you worship with. It's easy to slip in here on Sunday morning and slip out and only talk to the person that you sit to in the chair that you sit in every week. And that's not the way God designed it. He designed this thing for us to live as worshipers together, to build relationships that are meaningful and lasting. And so this is an opportunity for you to do that. And so if you don't normally come to things like this, I want to challenge you to take a step, get on out there, and don't make an excuse, and come and be a part of this. Because we want you to first connect with God in a deeper way, and then connect with the people that you serve God with in a deeper way. So that's next Sunday night. We'll start at 5:30. It's going to be an awesome time. I want you to come and be a part of all of that. All right? Somebody say amen.
Hey.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah, if you kind of get the feel, we're a family church. And so we have family worship. And a family does things together. We're taking kind of family business here right now. That's kind of what we're doing. And so we just want you to be a part of all that. A lot of opportunities. If you don't ever come on a Wednesday night, I mean, youth ministries, kids ministries, they got a great setup. In here we do it's a straight hour of Bible. I mean, you don't want to miss it. And it is just great. It's my favorite time. Y'all are great here too, but Wednesday night's my favorite. And at 6:30, it's just wonderful. So you haven't tested any of that stuff, and you want to check all that out. In fact, tonight there's a group that meets at 5:30 out here in the hospitality room, and so don't miss it. It's a live group. It's called Power from On High, Bible Teaching on the Holy Ghost. It's at 5:30 tonight, and so I just encourage you, check that out. It's for anybody, so you just come and join us. I pray for you every day. Some of you I know very, very well. Some of you I don't. But if you've given us your name or something somewhere, you know, we've got all that. So I pray over you. I call you. I call your names out. I pray for your family. I pray for your business. I pray for what you invest in. I pray for your time. I pray for your stewardship. So what I'm saying to you, I'm praying that God will give you favor and that God will prosper over you. Is everybody good with that? Is everybody good with the prosperity? Wave at me if you're good with prosperity. All right. And so that means if you you're in the bee business, you're raising bees, I'm praying you're going to have a lot of honey.
Come on.
Is that good? Okay. And so, I mean, whatever you're into, I just pray you're just going to really, really, really be prosperous. I'm going to pray it's going to overflow. I pray for you that God will give you creative ability and that you would have an ear to hear what God is saying to you personally. Then you would be able to see beyond the patterns of the world, but you'd be able to see what God is showing you.
That's it.
Noah never had seen an ark previous to him building one.
Come on.
I want you to think about that. Some people will say, well, I saw somebody else do something. They go to a seminar, and they say, I'll do that. Well, what if God calls you to do something that nobody else has ever done?
Jesus, that's right.
Number one, will you do it?
Come on, better believe it.
And number two, will you have the faith and the Holy Ghost empowerment to see it all the way through? So you gotta put yourself in that position. So I pray for you, and I pray that, how many of you got a pretty good job?
Yes.
Two of you. Come on, how many have a pretty good job? All right? I didn't ask if you like it, but you got a pretty good job. All right? So I pray that while you're there, it'll prosper. The last thing you want to see it do is go downhill. Right? The kingdom of God has got to move. And so today as we receive our offering, you're bringing your first fruits, you're bringing that. My dad and I, we were together this week, and we were talking about David Green, how he gives 50% of everything Hobby Lobby makes. And he's not open on Sunday. I mean, he takes that Sabbath and he goes forth, you know, and Chick-fil-A and that sort of thing. You know, God wants to raise every one of you up just like that. David Green started selling stuff out of his garage. How many got some junk in your garage? Now, I know y'all got to be raising both hands right there. Yeah. You know, and so, you know, what's junk to you is some value to somebody else. And so, I mean, you just look at that and see what God is. Just what does he put in your hand? And take that and believe God will multiply that and be diligent. So here's what we're going to do today. In a moment, the ushers are going to pass. You give your offerings to God. You want to give by debit card, credit card, that's available to you. You want to give on your phone, go to our website. You do all that during the week, or everything you want to do. Just everybody do that. But I'm going to ask you, I'm going to pray, but I'm going to ask you to go with me and just begin to prophesy over your own life. How many think you can do that?
Oh, yes.
All right? And when you say, Pastor, what do you mean prophesy? Just speak what you want to happen into your life. Some of you would like to redecorate. All right? Well, just, okay. Well, Father, I declare right now that I see that new living room. How many know what I'm talking about? Some of you would like to build an orphanage. Some of you would like to do a ministry that nobody else is doing. All right? God, I see that. Some of you would like to have a warehouse that you could give just out of that warehouse to others. Amen. There are some buildings available. Go by and start prophesying. There's actually a ranch inside this city limits that is multi-million, okay? And I've been driving by that ranch, and I'm letting the cat out of the bag right now. And before it was ever for sale, I was already claiming it. I had one person tell me, if somebody else has got it and you're claiming it, that's called covet. Not if I'm supposed to have it. How many hear what I'm saying, all right? I just feel like something's going to happen there. And right now, it's in a situation. And I don't know, but I just go by there and I claim it. I claim it. And sometimes during the day, I'm not even around it, and I just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I know it's going to. God, how many believe God can do anything?
Anything.
Come on, how many believe God can do anything?
Anything.
I mean, if it's $10 and you don't have $10, it's going to be a miracle.
That's right. Wow.
All right? And so if it's several million and you don't have but 1,000, it's still a miracle. But God can do it all. All right, so let's prophesy over your business, over your life, over your stewardship, that whatever you're believing for, you can begin to see and begin to pursue that. Are you ready with me right now? Let's just take a step of faith. Every one of us together, come on, lift up your hand right now. Are you ready? Come on. As I pray, you make noise. I want to hear you prophesy, all right? You prophesy to your situation. Let's go now. Father, I believe that right now these things we are prophesying this whole facility debt-free so we can build those prayer homes. We can build those warehouses. We can reach out to those who need that, Father. We can reach out to the ones you told us to reach. I pray over those ranches. I pray over those investments. I pray over those living conditions that everybody is prophesying over right now, their family, their business, their home, their investments. I'm declaring right now multiple streams of income to come forward to advance your kingdom. All it takes is every one of us starting with just a little, and you'll multiply it to be a, hallelujah, a super abundant amount. We thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Now let's thank God for what he's going to do. Come on, thank God. Come on, thank God. Hallelujah. Several years ago, I'm going to make this real quick because I want to give you plenty of time. Several years ago, I want to give you a little history. The Church Alive, we were Harlan Park Assembly. We were over on Dave Ward Drive. That building that we built there is now called Four Winds, which we sold to another group. Anyway, so we were over there, and we were close to UCA campus. And for years, we've had a college ministry. The church has always had an incredible vision. It's one thing I would tell you about this church, is always full of vision. That's Bible. All right, always vision. Never staying where we are, always going for more. And vision bigger than what we can all do resource now, but we know God's the resource. And so there was another pastor in town, a good friend of mine, and he and I would switch off every Tuesday night. I would go to Ferguson Chapel one Tuesday night. He'd go to Ferguson Chapel the next Tuesday night. And we did what we called Chi Alpha, which was campus ministry. And most of the time, it was, myself and maybe one, two other students. And, you know, if we had three, we were like campus revival. Okay? The campus was pretty small at the time. And it was Ed Huey. And Ed and I'd go back. And we just, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it turned out that one of our staff, that was on staff with us in youth ministries. We just placed him into that. It happened that we, give you a little background. I know Chuck Carroll remembers this very, very well. We had a group of Malaysian students who came to UCA. And that is what really, really opened up the international student ministry. And all of a sudden, we just had, 60, 70, 80. It just kept going, going, going. And the next thing we knew, we had like 40 different countries represented. And it just kept growing like that. And really, there was more international than there was national. And then that began to move over. And in fact, then when we purchased this property, and I really never saw it this way, I want to give you this because many times you get the glimpse of what God wants to do in your life, and then you want to figure it.
That's right.
You want to blueprint it out. And God's ways are higher than man's ways, when we bought this property, we went right out here where those big rocks are to the left. And that particular night that we prayed, we actually picked up the soil. And you might have thought we were strange people. There was nothing built here. We just put our hands in the soil. And that night, that afternoon, there were over 60 different countries represented by those students that were out there. And we just prayed that this church would have a global impact. I just got goosebumps right there. And y'all don't believe that. But anyway, I never saw how that would happen. And we still believe that we're a global ministry center. But then a few years later, a missionary couple came from the northern part of the U.S. and came down here and thought we all talked funny. And we thought they talked funny. But they were sent from God. And from the moment that Matt and Kiki Carpenter came into the ministry, I mean, I could just see it. I saw something different in his eyes. And I've said this a lot of things about Matt, you know, when I'm not around him. And Patty could tell you, Matt, Kiki, that I say it. Matt is like the eyes of my heart. It's like I just see my heart right through Matt. And hearts are so one, and a lot of different ways to go about it, but it's all heart. When I say Matt and Kiki Carpenter, they're all heart. And they just go for it, you know. And the ministry, by that time, had gotten to some places, and it needed deliverance, and it needed a lot of changes. And it took a while, but Matt and Kiki Carpenter have taken that ministry, and they are our campus pastors at UCA. It was just Matt and Kiki when they first came. It was just Matt and Kiki. I don't even know if he had a pet, but it was just Matt and Kiki. And now it's not just Matt and Kiki. It's Matt and Kiki and the gang, all right? And a great family. I mean, one of my favorite families in the world. And just so fun to watch and just so inspiring. And they just bless me. When I talk about them, I just get weak and start crying, you know? They just so bless me so much. Matt see, I'm crying now, all right? And Matt he's over all the college ministries of the entire state of Arkansas. The whole nation wants him to do things, and praise God, he feels like he's supposed to be here. So we just, anyway. But they have taken their mission and their heart, and I want him to tell you about this, but now we have students. I want to show you. Remember those students over there in the dirt? I don't know how many students went forth. He'll tell you probably, but nearly 100, right, or so forth up into there. Went forth this year into missions, places like all over Africa. If he wants to tell you about that, he can. Thailand, right? Vietnam, other places. I mean, I never dreamed it was going to come like that. But it's happening through Chi Alpha. Can I have an amen here, somebody? And out of this, there have been so many missionary couples, families, students, and I mean that are student ministers, and we've had missionaries that you support, go forth and are over there right now, who were just students in here, and so praise God for them. I just love them so much, and I want them to come and share with you today, and as we do that, Matt and I were real planners, but we weren't very sure how we wanted to do this. Okay, but I want us to give, if we can, an investment into this ministry. You just can't invest too much into a young life like this. When I go into to the campus, and a few months back when we got our new president, I was spending time with him, and all you guys were talking about what they were doing, and I introduced myself, and he said, "What connection do you have on the university?" And I said, "Well, Chi Alpha." "Chi Alpha! All I've heard is about Chi Alpha." And he said, "Wow." You know, and so I just want you to know God is doing a great thing, not just through the students, but also the faculty at the university. And so I'm going to ask everybody, and ushers, if I didn't warn you about this, but let's give again, okay? And everybody just do something. Just right now, just ponder it. What would I invest into a student? Don't just give a little. You might want to go ahead and give your lunch. But everybody just, and if you want to think about it, you want to pray about it, and during the week, you just want to jump online and give that, you can do that at any time. They have a debt-free home. I always say down from Stobie's. Everything on Donaghy's from Stobie's. Stobie's and then the Point. But back this way is Ada. Is that the street? Lavinia? Okay, right on the corner, big sign, Chi Alpha. I mean, the place was a dump. Matt, his last name's not only Carpenter, he is a carpenter. And he redid all that, and it is just gorgeous. They purchased, paid for it, other properties real close to UCA. Student ministries going debt-free. Amen. And I'm a part of a, you know, kind of a steering committee type, I'll say it, you know, of the state of ministries. And Matt had to come in and give us a vision for his next building, all right? And it was a couple million, all right? And one of the fellows turned to me and he said, "Well, that's a huge vision." I said, "Yeah, it's great, isn't it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You know what? He's going to do it with or without us." I said, "You're exactly right." All right, and so I praise God for this heart. So in a few moments, you're just going to receive his ministry. I'm going to ask you to stand with us if you would, please. And we just declare right now, would you just lift a hand with me right now? I declare a harvest of souls like never before in our students, in our college ministries all across the globe, because they are represented right here from all across the globe. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Everybody give something. Keep standing for a moment. And would you just give a great welcome to Matt Carpenter? Come on, give him a great big welcome.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's just quiet our hearts before the Lord and just ask him to speak to us, because we didn't come here to hear the words of a man. Come to hear the words of the living God. Amen.
Yes.
So God, we quiet our hearts before you. We just ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, God.
Yes.
We know that you and you alone have the words of eternal life. So we position ourselves before you as those desperate for eternal life. God, let your word resonate in us such that it strikes a chord that shifts things, not just on this day, but from this day forward.
Yes, God.
God, let us feel the vibrations of your voice that rattle us, God, that shake what needs to be shaken, Lord. We need to hear from you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I guess it was about a month ago, I got back from Southern Africa. We, just tell a little bit of testimony here to start off with. This summer we took about 160 people overseas into, I think it was, well, two different continents, I think seven different nations, 13 different locations. And all of them going for at least 1 month, but we've got some people still over there. They're committed to a medium-term scenario of like 3 to 6 months. And even in going, it's amazing to see what God has done, because we're no longer going just to missionaries that we've met in other places. Now we're going to missionaries that we've sent to other places. And so it's amazing, because we've got students that are now freshmen and sophomores or juniors that are in the spot of, they are discovering what really living for Jesus looks like on a day-to-day basis for the very first time. And they're considering their futures and what God might be calling them to. And so now they're traveling across the globe, and they've trusted God more than they've ever trusted him before. They've trusted him to provide for them. They've trusted him to give up their other summer plans, to kind of walk away from close connections back here, and to go further than they've ever gone before. A lot of these students, this is the first time they've ever been on an airplane before. And their first flight ends up being a 15-hour flight to Doha, Qatar. You know, I mean, that's like baptism by fire, right? And so they're trusting God more than they've ever trusted him before. And then they get overseas and they see someone who just 5 years before that, or 10 years before that, was in their exact position. And you know, the incarnation, that God becoming flesh, that happens when we can see ourselves maybe 5 years or 10 years from now, of who we could be in God. It's just a powerful thing. And you know, these trips for me used to be honestly terribly exhausting, because I felt like I kind of had to carry the load of lots of things. We were a young ministry, and we were We're taking on a lot. We're taking on a lot financially, and still that's the case. I mean, these trips this year came close to costing $800,000, okay? And which, for a campus ministry, that's a lot of money, right? And I know people can have their criticisms of like, well, why are you spending all that money, you know, dragging those kids across the ocean? And can't that be spent better here? You know, only the Lord knows where things are best to be spent. But I believe that if we are mobilizing a generation to not just go and have a vacation, but we're mobilizing a generation to impact the globe, I think that there's nothing that we could spend our money on that would be better than that. That's just my thought on it. And so we're trusting the Lord for huge things. And God is answering our prayers to say, God, we want to see the entire globe reached. And we want to see it reached from an epicenter of Conway, Arkansas. And whoever thought, you know, whoever thought that God could send out a missionary movement birthed out of a university campus, a secular university campus. And yet, that's what God is doing. That's what we've prophesied over this campus. And that's what we're now seeing. Like, I saw this years ago with my spiritual eyes. And now we're seeing it with our physical eyes. This is the stuff that pastors talked about for years that he saw with his spiritual eyes when they picked up the dirt out here. And now we're seeing it with our physical eyes, you know? It's when the things of God that at first were just kind of some dream out there. And then now we're walking in a place where the truth is, for me, this has went beyond my dreams. My dreams were too small for what God wanted to do. Like, it's now went beyond that to where I feel like I'm just like along for the ride of like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. You know, like, that's amazing, God. And we're at the spot now where even coming into this next semester and in just a month, there will be, you know, a few thousand freshmen that will hit this campus. And we're at the spot now where released onto this campus will not be two missionaries, Matt and Kiki Carpenter. Released onto this campus will be 220 missionaries. Because this year there will be 220 student leaders that are saying, I'm going to be in these classes. I'm going to be on these sports teams. We're going to be covering this campus with one mission, to make disciples. And so there is nobody on this campus that is safe from the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Like, there is nobody that's safe. In order to not be consumed by the presence of God, you have to run away from it. You have to suppress the truth that's directly in front of you. And in a day and age where I think the truth is definitely under fire, God is raising up a standard against that attack. And he's saying, I'm going to establish a truth that's not a lowercase t truth, it's a capital T truth. It's not relative. We've got to get, and I'll say this real quick, we've got to get back as a church to a place where we hold on to an ethic versus a morality, okay? We've traded in our ethic for morality over and over again. This is what I mean by that. Ethic is based in the word ethos, which is what ought to be, right? Morality isn't based in the word more, which is behavior. So what we've said as the church a lot of times is our behavior just needs to be a little bit better than the world around us. But as the world around us continues to decay, what happens to us as well? We're drugging this tide that's towards decay, right? Instead, we've got to attach ourselves to an ethic that's not about what is the culture around us doing, and can we be a little bit better than that? Or maybe even worse, can we imitate that culture in order to try and reach it? Instead, could we not stand for something that ought to be? Not because we say it ought to be, or we think that we're right, but because God says it ought to be. Because he made it to be that way. And if we'd stop chasing culture and instead set out to establish God's culture, maybe our ethic would hold us as an anchor amidst a tide that is going here and there. God is calling the church to a place of revival. And this word revival, I'll just throw this out here real quick too. This word revival, I've heard it ever since I got into church. And I didn't grow up in church. And so I came to faith in Christ when I was 11 years old. And so once I got into church, Man, I became a part of an amazing, amazing church. But I've always heard this word revival spoken about, and it's always been kind of this thing that we're always on the cusp of. You know what I'm talking about like that? Oh, we're on the cusp of revival. We're on the cusp of revival. How many of you guys have heard that kind of? When are we going to get there? You know, like, I mean, I've been now, I'm 43 years old. I've been on the cusp of revival for about 30 years, you know, like, when do you get over the cusp, you know? Like, and it's been spoken about as though it's like this lightning strike, you know, that, oh, God, we're praying for revival. You know, it's like we're looking to the skies, you know, and we're oh, there's clouds. Oh, maybe revival. Lord, let it strike here, you know. Or we pray prayers like, God, pour out your spirit, God. Like, I'm waiting on you, God. We need your spirit, God. But did God not already send his spirit on the day of Pentecost? And so what are we waiting for? Is our high priest, isn't this the way it talks about our high priest? Our high priest sat down. Why? Because his work is done. And it says he waits for us to bring his enemies so that he can make them his footstool, right? So if we want revival, God is saying, go out and take it. Yes, sir. This is what revival is, that we would stop waiting for another priest to come that stands on the stage with a microphone and does the work of God, and all these people come to the altar, and said that there would be a kingdom of priests, right? That everybody would take their personal responsibility and saying, oh, no, I'm not just going to give into missions. I'm going to be a missionary because God has placed me in an individual circumstance, situation that nobody else is in. And so I have a sphere of influence that nobody else has. That's revival. This is what is happening, and I'm speaking this now prophetically. We are in the middle of a discipleship revival in this nation. Now, a lot of people don't recognize it because discipleship is different in its revival versus a signs and wonders revival, right? A signs and wonders revival is like it's like an explosion, right? And so it's like, whoa, there's an explosion there, right? But a discipleship revival is like a mustard seed. It starts small, but a mustard seed grows to be the largest tree in the garden. A discipleship revival is an exponential revival. And it's unnoticed in the beginning stages, but then once it starts to grow, it's like, it's a juggernaut. It cannot be stopped. Even like the army that God is raising up out of the university campus. Like, it's, I'm telling you, like, it, I could die tomorrow, and Lord, I hope I don't. But if I do, man, it's been a good ride. But I could die tomorrow, and God's work would not stop. Because it's not about me. It's about the responsibility that's being taken by every individual believer to say, the Holy Spirit of God is powerful enough to work even through me. And so I'm going to give him that opportunity to work through me on a daily basis. That is, and hear this, that discipleship is each one of our primary vocation. I don't care what you do to make money. Before God, that is not meant to be your primary vocation. Your primary vocation is to do the will of the Father, right? To bring him glory. That's what we are each meant for. It's only when we misplace our primary vocation, we make it a secondary vocation, that we find like this grinding of the gears, that all of us get caught up in this rat race that just wears us out. Why? Because we're doing the wrong job. Because we've allowed our primary vocation to become a secondary vocation or maybe a non-vocation. And instead, we've thought our goal in life was to make money and build a life for ourselves. And so we set ourselves out to build our kingdom rather than to build God's kingdom. And then we're wondering why we're exhausted as we're doing it. God has called us into this vocation. And incidentally, you know the word vocation comes from the Latin word vox, which means voice. That truly, as a vocation, you are meant to hear the voice of God. That if we're not hearing the voice of God as we're doing our vocation, we really don't have a vocation. God is calling each one of us into a primary vocation that is that of discipleship. And in that, there is, not, I'm not talking about a cusp of, we are in discipleship revival. And frankly, discipleship has been something that has become dead in our Western church. And so it needs to be awakened. It needs to be awakened. God wants to take his kingdom and he wants to distribute it dynamically across the globe. And yet, so often, we take his kingdom and we make it very static. We make it static in an individual. Oh, it's about this person. We make it static in a location. Well, we got to come into the sanctuary in order to worship God. But that's not biblical. That's Old Testament. Do you know that this isn't, this thing, I don't, it doesn't matter what we call it, this is not a sanctuary. What happens when we come together is we don't come into a sanctuary. There's a bunch of sanctuaries that come together. That's what's happening here. Because, and this is what the writer of Hebrews says, and now I'm transitioning into my message, if you allow me. What the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, the law is but a shadow of the realities that are to come, not the realities themselves. And so even as we look into the Old Testament law, we see all these archetypes, these icons, these symbols that were so much a part of his Hebrew and Israelite culture that Jesus is now saying, I'm going to take what was a shadow and through my life I'm going to usher in a kingdom that I'm going to show you what the reality is. And so would you stop chasing after shadows and now embrace the reality? Would you stop holding on to what was stagnant or stationary, and will you allow it to become dynamic, right? And we understand this in lots of terms. We understand this definitely within what I'm talking about, the priesthood of God, right? That Jesus is saying there was a priest, but now I've become a better priest, right? I've taken something that is static and I've made it dynamic. And so through that, now you have become the sanctuary. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 3, it starts off like this. It says that Jesus was a better builder than Moses. Jesus was a better builder than Moses. And like Pastor said, I like to build things. So Jesus was a carpenter. Me too, right? And so Moses was a carpenter. He built something. What did Moses build? Moses built the ark, yes, and also the tabernacle, right? Not the ark that floated, the ark that had the presence of God in it, right? And so... so God gave Moses instruction, said, this is, I want you to build a mobile dwelling place for me. That's called a tabernacle, a tent that could be set up at any place. I want it to be mobile because I want my people to be able to move around and I want to be able to move around with them, right? So I want you to build a mobile dwelling place for me. And it says at the end of the book of Exodus, once Moses had completed everything that the Lord had commanded him to do, then God's presence filled that place and manifest, right? And even over that ark, right, that box made of gopher wood covered in gold with two cherubim stretching out their wings across the top of it that was called the mercy seat of God, that somehow, and I don't know how this happened, but somehow God sat down there. Like somehow he made his presence more manifest there than it was anywhere else. And it was represented visually by a fire that came to rest over there, right? That this mobile place for God to sit down, that incidentally was the same fire that came to rest over each and every believer on the day of Pentecost, right? The manifest, tangible presence of God that was God saying, oh, no, I'm everywhere, but I've deposited myself specifically right here. And that same fire that came to rest on those believers is the same fire that is available to us, right? And so we see that there was something that was static that then became dynamic, right? This mobile dwelling place of God that then Jesus built a better one. And it's each and every one of us. That we are the mobile dwelling place of God. And where do we carry him to? Everywhere we go. We don't come to visit the presence of God in this temple, right? Because there's a new temple, right? And so we don't need to come here to visit the presence of God. We drag the presence of God in here with us, and then we celebrate the collective fire, right? Like that's what God's called us to, going from static to dynamic. Here's the thing I find, though. We can only We can only pursue after the truth that we know. And so there's another thing. There's another icon. There's another symbol in the Old Testament. There's another shadow that I think has been kept veiled from the eyes of most of the church. And thereby, even though we would want to do the right thing, we're not necessarily doing the right thing. And I think about it like this. I've got a 2-year-old who's in the middle of potty training. Any of you parents remember the days of potty training? Yeah, wonderful and horrible days, right? Wonderful because of the expectation that's there of, in just a few days, God willing, I won't have to be doing this anymore, right? But horrible days because the messes are increasingly worse, right? And so we're in the middle of those days of potty training, and you know, there's still some days where Ransom, he has accidents, right? And so I'll look at him and I'll be like, Ransom, why did you do that? You know, like, and he looks at me, he's like, Daddy, I'm doing my best. I think you've got to be able to do better than that, you know, like, you say you're doing your best, but I think there is better for you, right? And I'll say, why would you ever want to do that? Why would you ever want to put poop on your, you know, bottom like that? And he's like, it makes me happy. It makes me happy, Daddy. I think you don't understand happiness in the same way that I do, you know? But I think possibly it's like that with God, where God is saying, I want something better for you. And we say, I'm doing my best. And he's like, but you're still making messes in your pants. Why are you doing that? It makes me happy. Because we don't know true happiness. There's a truth about Sabbath that I believe has been kept veiled from the church. That I believe that God wants to expose the truth about Sabbath, to take it from something that has been static and move it into something that is dynamic. You see, God's kingdom, and really, this is what Jesus came for. And I know he forgave us of our sins and there was atonement that was made. Yes, all that stuff ushered in the Holy Spirit. Yes. Really, though, the all-encompassing thing that Jesus came to do is to usher in a new kingdom. To take this physical kingdom and make it a dynamic spiritual kingdom, right? Like, that's what Jesus came to do. And so if we're going to participate with Christ, we have to get all of these things drug out of the static kingdom, and we got to drag them into a New Testament interaction with our Heavenly Father. Amen? And so, how many of you would admit to the fact of you live from vacation to vacation? Like, I'm just waiting for my next vacation. I'm just kind of holding on. How many of you guys even have a vacation scheduled for later on in the summer? And you're like, boy, if I could just get there, right? Like, you're just holding on. And then how many of you would admit to the fact of you need a vacation once you get back from your vacation? Yes, I see those hands. Yeah, okay. That you get back and you're like, that was supposed to be restful, what I just did there? Like, I'm exhausted. Like, I need 3 days to recover from my vacation, right? We live in a society that for the most part is chaotic. Like, just inundated with information, inundated with activity. We've never done more than we've ever done more in the history of the planet that we are doing right now. And it's evidence even in conversations. How many of you, when you talk to somebody and you ask how they're doing, get some answer that's similar to, I'm busy? How many, how are you doing really? Gets answered with something like, I'm busy. Why? Because what we feel, all of us, is we feel inundated with activity. And it doesn't even mean they're doing anything really great. It just means we're filling our schedule, or at least it feels really full, right? Like, we're living in kind of this rat race that creates exhaustion. And so we end up living from vacation to vacation, or maybe even just from weekend to weekend. I've just got to survive again to the weekend. And that's not what God has called us to. Jesus has made it possible for us to never work another day in our lives. I thought you guys would be more excited about that. Jesus has made it possible for us to never work another day in our lives. Let me explain what I'm saying. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, yes, he gave them purpose. Yes, he gave them responsibility. But it was only a result of the fall that God cursed them with work. Amen? Are you tracking with me? It wasn't like God said, okay, now I want you to labor on this earth. No, he said, I want you to walk with me in the cool of the day. That sounds awesome, right? Let's walk with God in the cool of the day. It's only in response to the fall that God said, now I curse you to have to work, to labor, right? And do we not believe that through the work of Jesus on the cross, our high priest, that every curse is reversed? Do we not believe that? And so why not the curse of work? Why do we want to hang on to that one? Well, no, I'm going to hang on to my curse of work. Like, what? Why would we want to do that, right? God has set us free, but maybe we're still over here making messes in our pants just because we don't know a better life, right? And we're just like, well, but yeah, but this makes me happy. God's like, no, I've got a better life for you, free from diapers. You can come over here. Right? Come over here into this dynamic kingdom. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Starting verse 7, it says this. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Verse 12, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called, what? As long as it's called, capital T, today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. As just has been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the time of the rebellion. But instead, I will give you a Sabbath rest. This promise of Sabbath rest, basically, what the scripture is saying is this. Sabbath is available to you every day that ends in A-Y. Ends up being every day, right? Every day that's called today is your Sabbath day, conditionally. Conditionally on what? If you hear his voice in today. Every day is Sabbath. Now, I know, and I honor Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby for taking Sundays off, okay? But really, that would be an Old Testament view of Sabbath. Oh, this we need to take Sundays off. And probably, if we would all vote, probably most of us would have this view of Sabbath. That is, we need to take Sundays off from our work because we need to honor God. And we're trying to follow after an Old Testament scripture, right? That is, we need to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, right? And so we would be interacting with this 1 and 7, and there would be some who would be very, very, you know, progressive in our theology. We'd say, no, God, there's flexibility to it. So as long as I can maybe take my Sabbath on Monday, in fact, that's what a lot of preachers do, you know, because we have to quote unquote work on a Sunday, right? And so we're going to take our Sabbath on a Monday because God's got flexibility. And so we're not quite as static, maybe, and maybe some of us are progressive in our theology to get out of that. But I believe this truth of Sabbath is meant for the believers to be every day that's called today is something that has escaped us. In fact, it's something we don't even think that it is available to us. And I know a lot of people would say this, well, yeah, but didn't God God worked for 6 days, right? And then he rested on the seventh day, right? But here's a question for you. What did he do on the eighth day? Did he go back to work? No. God's work was complete on the sixth day, right? And then he's sitting and he's waiting for us on what day? On the seventh day. What's it called? Today. God is waiting for us to rest with him in today. True Sabbath rest is this, is to be present with God now. Anytime that you're present with God right now is rest. Now, that's really simple and easy to state, right? But it's difficult to live that out because we have things that pull us away from hearing his voice in today. You know what's exhausting? Self-focus. Constantly looking inward. It's exhausting, isn't it? Thinking everything's dependent on us. Like, I remember a few years ago, I was on my way to speak at a retreat in North Carolina, and speaking in front of people is a challenge to me. So, like, it's just not something that comes natural to me, so I stress about it, right? And so I've got to now speak at this retreat, and so I've got multiple sermons I've got to have ready for this thing. And it, on top of that, it was kind of a busy period in the local ministry, and stuff with family was busy, and so... like, and so I've just got a lot of stuff going on, right? And so on my way there, I'm having this pain inside of my stomach that's different than any pain I'd ever felt before. And so it's just nagging at me. It's like I can't get away from it. It's just like, it's kind of nauseous, but way more sharp than that. And I'm like, man, what is going on with this pain that I've got in my stomach? And so, like anybody with a good internet connection, I decide to self-diagnose, you know? So I start typing in my symptoms into the Google doctor, and the internet physician says, I have an ulcer, okay? And so I'm like, God, what's up with this? I've got an ulcer? Like, on top of all the rest of this stuff, I've got an ulcer. And so I begin to ask the Lord, because this is what I believe. I believe that anything that happens in the physical realm first happened in the spiritual realm. That's what I believe that the kingdom viewpoint is that this stuff that we can touch and taste and feel, it's real, but it's actually less real than the spiritual realm, right? And so when things happen in the spiritual realm, then they manifest in the physical realm. So I'm asking God, if my body is manifesting an ulcer, what happened in the spiritual realm that's creating that manifestation? And I believe that the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me this. He's like, Matt, it's because you think too highly of yourself. You think that this ministry is dependent on you. You think that this family is dependent on you. That's not your family. That's my family. You gave them to me. That's not your ministry. That's my ministry. And if it's your ministry, you better get out of it. Matter of fact, these words that you're going to say at this retreat, those aren't your words. Those are my words. God spoke this to me, and maybe God doesn't speak this harshly to you guys, but he does to me every once in a while, okay? He says to me, man, I could replace you with a rock. That's what my scripture says. If you won't cry out, I can make rocks cry out. It's fine. I can use rocks. And that realization for me that I could be replaced with a rock was remarkably freeing, because it took the focus off of me. And it put it back where it was meant to be, on God, right? If you hear his voice rather than your voice, Sabbath rest. These people that it's speaking about in this passage in Hebrews, it's speaking about these people that had been delivered from the hand of the Egyptians, right? That God had systematically pried away the fingers of the Egyptians from the necks of the Hebrews and released them with prosperity through the Red Sea and then drowned the Egyptians behind them, right? Was it not these people that God is now speaking to? And then these people that get to a smaller body of water, the Jordan River, and then they look at a smaller enemy on the other side and they say, oh, we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. You know what the problem is? They're looking at themselves, right? It was with those people, the scripture says, who were they, verse 16, who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those whom Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry with for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter the rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter the rest because of their unbelief. These people who had seen God do miraculous things, that God had said, no, look to me. Come out and worship me. Depend on me. And if you will, like, there is no circumstance on this earth that's powerful enough to hold you. And yet, they got out, and then their focus went back to themselves. Self-focus is exhausting. But you know, as soon as I began to declare before the Lord, and I suffered with this ulcer for 3 days. Like I couldn't eat. I could barely sleep. 3 days. And then I began to confess before the Lord. God, I'm nothing. My family, they're yours. They're in your hands. I'm not in control. I'm going to stop trying to be in control. This ministry is not mine. I'm going to stop worrying about whether it succeeds or fails. And I'm just going to go along with your work. It's your work anyway. As I begin to confess those things, God healed me, like just like that. You see, Sabbath rest is to be present with the Lord, not present with ourselves. It's about God focus, not self focus. If we're in a spot, we're struggling to rest, we're getting exhausted, maybe it's because we look at ourselves too much. And maybe the only thing more exhausting than self-focus is others' focus. How much of our time, and even just think about mind space, is consumed by looking at somebody else, wondering what they're doing or what they think about what we're doing. Even, I mean, think about all this social media stuff that's going on. Like, really, do you guys see what's happening? Like, it's constantly like everybody's trying to put it on a show for everybody else as though everybody else is watching. You know? Like, do you guys see it happening? Like, I'm going to Facebook Live now because everybody cares about what I'm doing. You know? Constantly in a place of comparison, trying to make sure my life measures up. And I'm not trying to demonize Facebook. I'm just trying to call it for what it is, that there's a lot of our lives that becomes an expression of how much we look at other people. We live our lives in such a rat race of comparison, and it's exhausting. Even in ministry. And try and do ministry without the presence of God. Be others focused the way that Jesus would call us to be without Jesus, it'll exhaust you. Because the thing is, this whole world is filled with imperfect people. It'd be a lot easier if it wasn't, right? This whole thing falling after God, if we were all perfect, including that guy in the mirror, this whole thing would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? Others focus is exhausting. Maybe the reason why we're toiling, laboring, living from vacation to vacation, always kind of on the verge of burnout, is because we're focusing on others rather than focusing on God. Today, though, if you hear His voice and don't harden your hearts, God will give you a Sabbath rest. Chapter 4, verse 1 says this. It says, therefore, since the promise of entering God's rest still stands. Did you guys hear that? So it's saying God made this promise that is about today, right? And then it's spoken about later by David in the Psalms where he says, today if you hear his voice. So he's basically saying that promise that God spoke over the Israelites, it wasn't fulfilled just because Joshua led them into the promised land. This promise of entering God's rest, it still stands today, okay? And so it says, if the promise of entering God's rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we have also had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the gospel, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath of my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disbelief. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it, what? Today. When a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Be careful, people of God, to not fall short of the Sabbath. God set aside a day and he called it today. He says, as long as it's today and you hear my voice and you don't harden your heart, then today will be a day of rest. You know, the other force that pulls us out of Sabbath is a force that pulls us out of today. Because so often, we don't live in today. We live in yesterday. Looking back of what would have, should have, could have been. We live in shame. We live in unforgiveness. We live with grudges. And that's exhausting, isn't it? You know where Satan interacts with us? In yesterday, not in today. God interacts with us in today, right? He's sitting on the seventh day called today. And he's saying, I'm inviting you into today. Now, God interacts, could interact with time and does interact with time three-dimensionally. Okay? He's not limited by two-dimensional forward time. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? We're stuck in this thing of we're moving along at a consistent pace in one direction, right? We can't go backwards, we can't slow down, we can't speed up, okay? But to God, God is eternal, so he's outside of this little linear thing, right? And so God is out here, but he's saying, I'm going to interact with you in one place. I'm going to call that day today. But if ever you live in yesterday, you're not going to live in Sabbath. Matter of fact, the parable of the unmerciful servant illustrates this, doesn't it? Where he says, you know, if you won't forgive your fellow brother or sister, then I will place you in a place of torture. Torture, that sounds like exhausting. Right? Jesus gave us the key to step out of yesterday and to now live in today, right? Through forgiveness. Forgiveness that we receive, but also forgiveness that we give. So many of us end up living so many hours of our days looking back in shame, in regret to yesterday. And God's saying, no, come into today. I'm here. I'm not there. Matter of fact, I've wiped that away. Far as the east is from the west, I removed that from you. I'm here in today. Will you accept an invitation from Christ to come out of yesterday and live in today? Will you accept that invitation? Now, maybe the only thing more exhausting than living in yesterday is living in tomorrow. Amen? How many days, how many hours out of a day do we spend looking ahead? Of what might be, of what could be, of what we fear might be. Fear, anxiety, worry. They consume our lives. And it's exhausting. Why? Because when we're thinking about tomorrow, it means we're trying to control something that we can't control. That's exhausting, isn't it? Like, what about this business meeting that's coming up? What about this job interview? What about this sales contract? What's going to happen with it? Like, I don't know. Like, and we just toil and we toil and we toil and we just exhaust ourselves. And God's like, would you accept an invitation to come out of tomorrow and to just live with me in today? How many of you can add a day onto your life by looking ahead to tomorrow and worrying about it. We take this instruction about worrying as though it's just good advice, but it's not. It's a command. You should not worry. Worry declares you're not with me in today. You don't trust me if you worry. So come out of tomorrow and live in today. God set aside a day, and he called it today. He says, if you hear my voice in today, then it will be rest. This is one practical thing I do, and this may sound ridiculous to some of you. Frankly, it doesn't matter to me if it sounds ridiculous to you, because it works for me. Whenever I start to feel stressed, heaviness, anxiety, fear, toil, anguish, I ask myself one question. What day is it? What day is it? Do you know there's never been a time where I ask myself that question that the answer hasn't been the same? Because every time I ask myself that question, it's wild. It's always today. Every time. What day is it? Oh, it's today. Well, then this is my Sabbath day. Doesn't matter what's going on around me. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter how chaotic life feels. It doesn't matter what's coming up later on in the week. I'm just with you then today, God. I'm going to hear your voice today. And I'm not going to allow my heart to be hardened. It's my goal. This is the way I'm trying to live my life. And I'm doing my best. This is the way I'm trying to live my life. I'm trying to live my life to never work another day in my life. Now, I'm not talking about sitting on the couch, okay? I'm talking about we're still made for purpose, right? We still have a primary vocation. But I'm going to try to live my life to never work another day. Because this thing of Sabbath needs to be brought from a place of static to a place where it's dynamic. That's what Jesus came for, to usher in this new kingdom. That's what's available to us. Would you accept an invitation from your Heavenly Father to live with him in today? Let's pray together. Father God, I pray that everybody in this place would see the truth of your word and that would believe it's possible for them. God, that there would be nobody in this place that would be disqualified because of their unbelief. But as they look into the tender eyes of their Heavenly Father, and as you speak your invitation to them to come on, step out of toil. Come on, come out of self-focus. Stop thinking everything's dependent on you. As they hear your gentle words say, stop looking at him and her. They have no concern to you. You just look at me. As they hear your loving kindness declare over them, I've forgiven you. Stop looking back. Come with me. I'm here. I'm now. Your past is my testimony over you. And even as we would hear your words speak to us about our futures that seem so uncertain when we view them through our eyes, that we would hear your voice declaring over us, you're in my hands. There's no better place to be. There's no more secure place to be. There's no more comfortable place to be than just with me. So instead of you toiling away to try and make a life for yourself in 2 weeks, in 2 years, at retirement, will you set out to make a life for yourself with me in today? If there's anybody here that wants to accept any of those invitations, stop looking at yourself, to stop looking at others, to stop looking backwards and stop looking forwards, but to live with God in the day that He created for Sabbath, called today. Will you join me in standing to your feet? Father God, I declare over us in Jesus' name that we are tired of being held down under the oppression of the enemy that's dragging our focus away from you and dragging our lives away from today. I declare over each one of us, God, that we will experience the tangible representation of Sabbath in our lives. God, that as we believe the right things about you, and as we repent, like as you change our minds, as we have that biblical metanoia, God, that there would be experiential things that would happen in our daily lives. That even over this next week, God, I declare over every person in this place that's responded to you, that they will feel like a rest that is not circumstantial rest, but it's kingdom rest. They will find themselves in the same circumstances at work, and yet inside, they're going to be at peace. They're going to be regenerated. God is speaking over you a message of recreation. No longer will you be going after recreation, but now you're made for recreation. And God, as we live in your Sabbath rest, God, allow us to now do our primary vocation. To bring glory to you, to make disciples of you. And let it not be a thing we try and add on to our already busy lives, but instead that we would abandon a busy life for a purpose life. God, we give ourselves to you in this. If you agree with that, say amen.
There goes all my doubt. There goes all my fear. Come on, you declare that.
There goes all my doubt.
Come on.
There goes all my pain. On the day you rose again, sin no longer stays. There goes all my questioning. There goes all my fear. On the day of reckoning, hope has reappeared. There goes all my doubt. There goes all my pain. On that day you rose again, sin no longer stays. There goes all my questioning. There goes all my fear. On that day of reckoning, hope has appear. There goes all my doubt. There goes all my pain. On that day you rose again, sin no longer seems. There goes all my fears. On that day of reckoning, all past. There goes all my pain.
thousand fears, all my anxiety.
That has received this word today, you've made it personal to you. Why don't you just declare it out loud right now? My toiling days are over. Come on, declare it right now. Come on, say it out loud. Come on, declare it in the atmosphere. My toiling days are over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just as Matt gave this powerful word, and I completely receive all of it. Did anybody feel like Matt just came to give you your word? Anybody else besides me? Come on, let me hear you. Come on, anybody receiving that? Let Matt know. Thank you, Matt, for being that servant of God. You know, just as Matt was talking, I mean, in the design of God in us, we just weren't made to carry all this.
That's right. That's right.
Somebody say, I'm throwing off some of my stuff.
Throwing it all.
All the stuff that man has put on us, I'm going to carry what God is putting in me. Amen. I'm a carrier of the anointing. How many, somebody, come on, somebody raise your hand and say, I'm a carrier of His anointing. That anointing, it's not annoyance. It's annoying to the devil. It's not to you. It gives you freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I receive that.
Wow.
Somebody say today.
Today.
This week, let me give you an assignment. Keep going back to that Hebrews 3 and 4. That's rich stuff. You just keep going back to that. Put with that Matthew 6. Seek ye first His kingdom, His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Amen. How many feel freer?
Yes.
Come on, how many feel a little lighter? Amen. A little lighter. Lighter in your spirit. You know what will happen? You get a little more joy. Praise God. It's easier to make disciples when you got joy. Amen. We try to disciple people. Live like us. Act like us. Dress like us. And all the time they're saying, you wonder why you don't have any disciples. Why would they want to be like you?
Come on.
All right? But be like Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Have that freedom. Matt, what a message. Amen. I declare over you. I declare over your house. I declare over your family. There's an awakening of this kind of revival. Amen. A spirit fire. A spirit fire. A force that doesn't have to be kindled and cannot be quenched. By the fire of the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Spirit upon you. Hallelujah. And I declare recreation living through you in an abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Go ahead. Just give him praise. Come on. Don't let those rocks beat you. Come on. Praise him greater than a rock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make this declaration with me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I declare, this week,
I will be
his sanctuary.
No rock in my place.
Come on, say, no rock in my place. One more time, give God praise. This is what a powerful day. Hallelujah. Today. Everybody shout today. Amen. You won't forget this. Matt, once again, thank you. You're wonderful. We love your heart, your pursuit. We're with you. Would you tell Matt you're with him? Come on, tell him you're with him. Amen. We got a bunch of kids getting ready to go to camp, and all they want to see your mom and dad. Some of you may want to come up here and stay and pray for a while. God, that's a powerful thing. Some of you may want to lay in his presence and stay for a while. Whatever you'd like to do, God bless you all. Have a great day today.
Amen. I will be going on back over that one. Absolutely. Okay.